This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Ethan, I'm trying something different with the bumper music. People have recommended that I do this for a while, and I don't know why it's taken me so long. But as you know, every day I publish the set list.
Of course,
we used to do it when Abby was here before you took over. Abby wrote it out. I liked the way it looked when it was handwritten, sort of like a band would do for a show.
Yeah.
But then your handwriting, I didn't like at all. No offense, because mine is worse. So I started kind of doing it on my iPad. With this kind of retro look behind it, and then I type it out. It looks like I'm typing in cursive.
Kind of looks like handwritten.
Yeah, it's a little, but it you know, it has a little bit of a retro flair to it. But then every once in a while, I joke how there's probably only two or three people out there that pay attention to the bumper music. But I do get a lot of response. I get response on Twitter. I had a couple people on Saturday night at the Kill Meat event say that they had found and discovered some songs from my bumper music list. So what I'm going to try to do, and I did it last night just as a test, not only will I publish, I don't know why it's taking me so long to do this, not only will I publish the list, but I'm going to put a little list together. Last night I did it on Tidal. That's my music service. But I might do it on Spotify just because that's more user-friendly for people.
I think people would absolutely love that.
So I have a Spotify I actually created today's. That was sweet. Love is like oxygen. And I put a list together today. So I think when the show ends, I will blast it up there. I actually put it up there earlier just as a test. I said, this is a test. This is only a test. So I will put that up. And that way people can click on the songs and they can listen to
them
as well.
So is this something that you're going to be adding to every day as you get different bumper songs, or is this just a flat playlist of Mark Reardon songs?
Yeah, no, this is going to be specifically the bumper music from each day. So right now I have it says, this is on Spotify, it says Mark Reardon Show Bumper Music 325-25.
Oh.
We started with Michigander and Spinning Image.
So you're going to do
Fernand,
day by day.
Right.
Okay.
So there's going to be, typically there would be 9 songs because we have 3 an hour. So there you go. I'm going to make it user-friendly for the audience. The demand was there, Ethan, and the good news is that on most days, you're going to be able to create that list on Spotify while I sit in there, so it's going to add to your workload. I'm sure you're thrilled.
Well, you know what? As long as I don't have to write it down, I'm okay with that.
It's actually pretty easy, because I messed with it today. It might be something I request some help with. I don't mind doing it myself, but on a particular day when I don't have time, I might have you do it.
I tell you what, real quick, for kicks and giggles, I'll need to have my wife write out one of your show lists for you, because people tell my wife that she has perfect handwriting.
Oh, really?
The perfect handwriting.
See, the thing about the set list is you don't want it really that perfect. You want it be a little, you know, because then it looks real. I mentioned this yesterday on the show. Like, if you go backstage, you know, I'm kind of joking about how these set lists are handwritten. I don't even know how often that happens.
Kind of like the Saturday Night Live, right? Like when they announce the guests and all that and who's going to be performing. It's kind of like that same kind of format that you use.
Yeah, but what I was going to say is that, you know, when a band does a set list most of the time, and if you go see an act, whether it's an Enterprise Center, the Amphitheater, at the Pageant, or a smaller club, they all have, you know, set lists. So they come out, you know, the rodeo come out right before the show with 3 or 4 pieces of paper, depending on how many members of the band. Then they tape them, you know, to the area in front of the amps, and that's how they decide, you know, what the show is going to be. They type most of those out, so I don't feel too bad about typing at the factory. They had, it was really interesting. I took a picture of it. They had all these set lists back there from all the bands that had come through, and it's kind of fun. But
that's cool.
I'll continue to remind people, and then, you know, when the show wraps, I'll put the list up there, and I'll put this playlist as well, so you can hit the playlist. I was going to do it with Tidal, but not as many people have it. You know, more people have Spotify,
right? I
didn't
even know what Tidal was.
Most people don't know what it is. It's TIDAL. It's my preferred music service. I actually have have several, but I love it quite a lot. All right, here's something that's interesting that's been kind of revealed in the Doge experience. We're going to talk with Congresswoman Wagner in the next hour about some of this. By the way, it's Telephone Tuesday, so I'll take some phone calls here. I have some questions about the intolerance on the left coming up after Ethan's news. But Elon has revealed, and the Doge team, that $312 million in COVID loans were given to kids and dead people. So they say that 5,600 loans went to businesses run by kids age 11 or younger, totaling $312 million. So, okay, that sounds a little fraud-like, right?
The case of fraud was with the Small Business Administration, where they were handing out loans, $330 million worth of loans to people under the age of 11. I think the youngest, Kelly, was a nine-month-year-old who got a $100,000 loan. That's a very precocious baby we're talking about here.
We're tackling the fraud, waste, and abuse in the agency. We've seen, hundreds of billions of dollars of fraud go unprosecuted, so we're taking that on. We have a zero-tolerance policy for fraud, and we continue to crack down on it and make sure people are held accountable.
Yeah, that's in the cabinet. That's Kelly Loeffler, who is the administrator for the Small Business Administration. You'll hear Trump get in here at the end.
And you have a lot of that. We've found far too much of it. It's a pure fraud. We like to use the words waste and abuse because they sort of sound good, but many of these things are pure fraud.
Yeah, they are pure fraud. But of course, the left doesn't see that, and they want to protect all the fraud that they possibly can. We'll take some phone calls in a few minutes. Before that, Sue is going to be back on Thursday. Ethan is pinch hitting here.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
But not today.
You know what I say? I say good for those kids getting those loans, trying to start a good life for themselves.
Hey, if you're an 11-year-old and you have $100,000 that's deposited in your bank account, that's probably not, you're not off to a bad start. It's just that you're not supposed to really do that at the expense of the taxpayers.
I just cannot imagine having that much money at that young of an age.
Well, again, these were accidental.
If it was actually, yes.
The one thing that we all knew when all this money was being handed out 3 or 4 years ago, that there was going to be billions of dollars in fraud. So a lot of this really isn't unanticipated or surprising. It's just the manner of rooting it out and actually exposing it at this point.
Today is National Medal of Honor Day, Mark. So if you know anyone out there that has a Medal of Honor, make sure you wish them a happy National Medal of Honor Day. It's also a much less serious holiday. It's also International Waffle Day. Are you a waffle guy, Mark?
Love waffles. Went through a period. I have a waffle maker. Really like to make waffles. I've kind of gotten off that little kick, though. Haven't made some waffles. I do go with the frozen waffles sometimes. I cheat.
Like the Eggos?
Yeah.
Do you prefer, is it waffles, pancakes, or French toast?
See, that's tough. I really like French toast.
I'm going French toast, number one.
That's almost an unfair question, Ethan, because in any given circumstance, I could go with either one of those. Really.
They're not losing.
Like a good waffle is hard to beat.
You're not losing either way.
Yeah.
Let's get that straight.
Now, I do cheat let me ask this. On the pancakes, my daughter likes these too. All I do is go to Walmart or Schnucks and I get the frozen pancakes, they're not super mini, but they're, the smaller pancakes. They're fine. They're frozen, but they're really good.
They do the job.
Exactly.
It is springtime, which obviously is good for a lot of reasons, but one of the negatives that does come with that is the amount of dust and pollen at this time of year kind of gets a little bit overwhelming. So I found 5 ways to stop all that dust buildup in your house.
Right. The worst part is on your car. Like at this time of year when you start, and we're going to love that you can see all the buds on the trees right now. The flowers are starting to come out. But if you leave your car either out or the garage is open this time of year, it's just going to be covered. You could wash it and then it's kind of covered with a green layer.
Yeah, it's that yellowish green layer.
Right.
If I see that, that's how I know that my eyes are going to be gone within minutes. So here's the top 5 ways to stop all the dust buildup in your house. Number one, regularly maintain your filters and vents. You should change your HVAC filters every 3 months at a minimum, and every 1 or 2 months if you live with pets. You should also clean your vents regularly.
My thermostat has been yelling at me, excuse me, yelling at me for like 2 weeks, change the filter, and I haven't listened. So I need to listen. It's pretty easy to do, and I just keep forgetting to do it.
Number two, run an air purifier. They'll take dust and pollen out of the air and blow clean air back out, and that can really help people with allergies and asthma as well. Vacuum every couple of days. This one kind of goes without saying.
Good luck with that. Yeah, every couple of days?
That's what it says. Listen, Mark, you of all people, I expect you to have one of the little vacuum robots.
I don't have that.
Point.
I don't. Look, I vacuum every couple of days, certainly in the kitchen and areas like that.
Sure.
But it's not the rest of the carpet's not going to get vacuumed every couple of days.
Number four, this one's a hard one this time of year. Keep your windows closed, especially if the air quality is poor, but keeping your windows closed can help minimize that pollen, dust, other particles from entering the house. And then the last one, leave your shoes at the door. Shoes are the easiest way to track dirt and dust through your home, so leave them by the front door.
You know, a lot of people, Ethan, I went to high school with a kid, and when we would go to his house, you have to take the shoes off first thing, right? Which, by the way, that's a pretty good policy, because if you think about the disgusting things that are on your shoes, I don't have that policy. So I wear my shoes in my house, and you know, you're doing exactly what you just described. But I wish I could enforce that policy of no shoes in the house. It's a hard thing to do.
So I was never, we were always a no shoes in the house growing up. So that's
because mom and dad?
Yep. So it's kind of just naturally just been what me and my wife do now. Okay. Maybe this word, there's a new word in the English language, and perhaps this could be up for word of the year. We'll have to get the thoughts of the rest of the crew when they return. Have you ever heard of boomerasking?
I have not.
It's not about baby boomers. It's a term for something you've definitely experienced, and perhaps you've even done it. Boomerasking is when you ask someone a question just so you can talk about yourself.
Ethan, that's actually the concept of my entire life. What are you talking about?
You want the question to come back at you like a boomerang.
Yes.
Boomerasking. A common example is when you did something amazing over the weekend. You might show up on Monday and ask a coworker, you do anything fun on Saturday? Well, listen to this.
Listen to what I did. Yeah, I was at the Brian Kilmeade show.
So a blogger coined this term a few years ago, but it's been trending after a study found that there are three common versions of it. Number one, ask bragging. Like, how was your vacation? Mine was great. Number two, ask complaining. How's work? Well, yeah, I've had the worst week. And then number three, ask sharing. It's like ask bragging, but without the bragging. You might ask about something random, like what do you think about Tesla Cybertrucks? Just so you can talk about how dumb you think they are.
Well, you could also do like, how did you do in the NCAA tournament over the weekend? I had a perfect bracket.
I did that a lot last year.
Last year,
as much this year.
When you did have a perfect bracket.
Basically,
yeah, we pointed
close.
This out. Ethan had one of the best brackets in the country last year. He was just dumb enough to not have any money on the line, so he didn't win a cent.
I just love when it gets brought up.
Mm-hmm.
The study found we do it because we think it's a polite way to bring something up, but it doesn't always necessarily land that way. I thought that one was kind of funny. So let me tell you about this one. I think yesterday I told you about an interesting plane incident regarding a guy in, I think it was the guy that got forced out of a bathroom from the pilot. His pants were still down.
That's right.
This is another interesting one. So imagine you're flying overseas. You got to the airport early. You made your flight, and then this happens. A United Airlines flight from LA to Shanghai had to turn around over the Pacific Ocean on Saturday because, get this, a pilot forgot his passport. It was already set to be a 14-hour flight.
You gotta be kidding me.
They turned around about an hour and 45 minutes in. They landed in San Fran to swap out the crew. They got to San Fran about 3 hours after taking off from LA. Passengers were told there had been a crew-related issue, but didn't hear about the passport thing until later. They waited for around 5 hours before finally taking off again. They ended up landing in Shanghai 6 hours late. And guess what United did from there? So nice to all of these passengers that they gave each of them a $15 meal voucher.
Let me tell you something. If they got a $15 meal voucher not knowing the circumstances, I hope they didn't sign anything because that's unbelievable,
yeah,
isn't it?
No kidding.
Wow.
Crazy.
Hey, we just got to go run back a few hours to get the passport that the pilot forgot. Why couldn't the pilot just take them to Shanghai and not get out of the plane?
That's kind of what my question was. Like, you think that there would be some sort of, maybe if they're staying there for a night or something.
Well, I'm sure they
issue.
Were.
Right. Anyway,
because of the length of the flight, you're not going to get right back. It's probably not even allowed to get back in and fly again.
Staying in the airport or something? I don't know.
You're going to need a passport.
Yeah, that's fair.
I did something very unique one time. I was going to Montreal. I don't know. This was about 13, 14 years ago. There was a movie. I actually was playing a zombie in a movie called Warm Bodies. I was an extra in a pretty good little movie, but I didn't make the cut on that. But I get to the airport on a whatever afternoon when I'm flying to Montreal, and I put my passport down for the international travel, and it's my son's passport. I grabbed the wrong passport. Well, there's nothing you can do about that. You have to have your real passport.
Right.
So my wife was, luckily, I you know, because when you do international travel, you're supposed to give yourself more of a buffer. I did in that instance. My wife had to come and bring the, she was thrilled, by the way, bring my passport. Look, I looked at it, and then I kind of looked, you know, my son's looked like me a little bit. I probably didn't even give it too much of a glance, but that was almost a mistake right there.
Holy cow. You know, you see the name, and you're like, okay, I'm good to go. Okay. Fireball Whiskey is giving out a lifetime supply of the stuff, but there's one big wrinkle. To win, you have to be at least 90 years old. They claim they're doing it because Fireball is oddly popular with older demographics. Quote, senior citizens love Fireball, and who are we to argue with their years of wisdom? Anyone born in 1935 or earlier can sign up at lifetimesupplyoffireball.com. Or, if you think you're young enough to drink but too old to use a computer, you can nominate them. The deadline is March 31st.
I never had Fireball because I quit drinking a long time ago. I knew a lot of people that used to do it. Doesn't seem like it's as much in vogue now, which is maybe why they're appealing to the 90-year-olds.
Okay, we got to run through some quick birthdays, this date in history, and then we'll wrap up. Danica Patrick, 43 years old today, of course, the auto racing superstar, and we can't forget the GoDaddy girl. Nate Bargatze, 46 years old today, the stand-up comedian. Elton John is 78. Happy birthday to Elton John. And today would have been Aretha Franklin's birthday. She passed away 7 years ago. Of course, the Queen of Soul, music icon. 31 years ago today, The Mighty Ducks was released. 29 years ago, there's some Oscar stuff that was going on around this time. Braveheart won Best Picture Oscar. Mel Gibson won Best Director 24 years ago. Julia Roberts wins Best Actress for Erin Brockovich. Russell Crowe won for Gladiator. 23 years ago today, The Bachelor premiered on ABC. And then 3 years ago today, in 2022, Foo Fighters drummer Taylor Hawkins passed away, sadly, at the age of 50.
On the Brave, you've seen Braveheart or you haven't?
I have seen clips of it. Okay. I have not seen the entire movie.
It's a great
movie.
It was one of those movies. I was reviewing films in Columbia, Missouri at the time. I saw the movie on a Thursday. I remember this because saw the movie on a Thursday. Was so blown away when it opened on Friday because I saw an advance of it. On Sunday, I went back and saw it again with my then wife. I said, this movie is so damn good. And I was so happy. The thing about Braveheart is, you just said it was released right now, right? Or was that the Oscar?
It was the Oscar.
Okay.
It was the Oscar.
The thing about it is that it was released almost a year before it won the Oscar. That's not typical. So a lot of movies used to happen more back then. In other words, a lot of movies that win the awards, they're, you know, put out at the end of the year for awards consideration. So it's not very often where a movie that comes out in February or March the previous year hangs on enough to win the Best Picture. Braveheart was one of those.
Very interesting. Oh, my friends always quote the part, hold, that's the part that we always jokingly quote. Okay, and now to wrap up Ethan's news with our random fact of the day. Philadelphia is the only city that's had four major sports teams in a championship game in the same year. 1980, the Phillies were in the World Series, Eagles in the Super Bowl, the 76ers in the NBA Finals, and the Flyers in the Stanley Cup Finals. But only the Phillies won the title, so a lot of heartbreak in 1980 in Philadelphia.
There you go. That's Sue's News for a Tuesday. Ethan Hannaford pinch-hitting. Sue will be back on Thursday. It's Telephone Tuesday. We're going to take some calls coming up next. Hang in there.